the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. Why did he use that word?
God goes to extreme measures to bring the lost to himself.
The greatest gift you will ever give this world is your intimacy with God.
The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are all three inside of me. I've got the power right now.
I think what Jesus really wants is people to go. I want to be the answer to Jesus' prayer request.
Welcome to the Fuel for the Harvest podcast.
When this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, then shall the end come.
Hey everyone, and welcome to this latest episode of Fuel for the Harvest. This is Nathan, and I will be your host for today. Thank you so much for joining us once again. So I am in a bit of a unique place. I am in rural Georgia right now, just preaching at a Christian camp down here. And a couple of months ago, we sent out an episode called From Homeschooler to High Schooler, and the young woman who sent us the email that we read on that podcast just so happens to be here at this camp, and I thought, hey, it would be so cool for other people to hear kind of what happened after, like the real world of being an everyday, ordinary kingdom laborer in a place like a high school. So I asked her if she'd be willing to record a podcast, and she said yes. So Carrie, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And we also have her older brother, Josh, here with us.
Hello. I'm just here to hang out and listen.
It's gonna chill. 'Cause
they're cool.
And, yep.
You're cool, too.
We're thankful to have you here, Josh. And, Carrie, thank you so much for joining the podcast.
Yeah,
what an honor and a joy.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited.
So.
Also nervous, but excited.
Let's start at the beginning of the story. You were doing homeschool for your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you told us earlier that you had never even been in a public school ever. That's like a huge deal. Just start at the beginning of the story. How did you initially sense that God was calling you to something like this?
So I consider that I first started really following Jesus when I was 13. And after that, I had thoughts from time to time of oh, what if I went to public school to be a light for him there? But I never really took it. I didn't take it super seriously, but in April of 2021, I was doing dishes one night, and I was like, Lord, if there's something that you want to say to me tonight, I'll listen. And then that turned into a really good worship time, as I was just doing dishes. And then later on that night, I was sitting alone in my room, and I was just thinking to myself, and then this thought randomly popped into my head, and it was, I want you to go to public school. And I was like, wait, what? And then...
I think that happens to all of us, right? we hear something from the Lord, and it sounds maybe a little strange, definitely mm-hmm. a lot uncomfortable.
Definitely.
And so we begin to question, is this real?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was like, wait, what? And then the conviction came more and more that I want you to go to public school. And I was like, Lord, I think this is you. So I'm going to go with it for now because
yeah.
I believe that this is your voice. And so I went and I told my parents so that I wouldn't chicken out of what I believe that God had called me to.
That's such a smart idea. I remember when I first got called into ministry, I had this same exact thought. I'm sitting listening mm-hmm. to a preacher preach, and the Holy Spirit is speaking like I'm calling you to international missions. And I'm thinking to myself, if I don't tell anybody, I'll never do this. So I
yeah.
better tell somebody. So I think that was a great idea.
Yeah.
Go tell your parents.
Thank you.
So how did your parents react? What did they think?
I love my mother mm-hmm. very much. She loves me very much, too. She didn't like it. She was very protective of me.
Yeah.
And she didn't like the thought of me going to public school. But as she said to Nathan the other night, she was like, she said all the right answers. So.
Right. Basically, mm-hmm. what your mom said from her side was mm-hmm. she wanted to make sure it was actually
yeah.
really from Jesus. Like, mm-hmm. that this wasn't just like a a teenage moment like emotion or something, that this was actually from Jesus. And so she interviewed you and asked a series of questions and you said all of the right questions.
And she was like, oh no, this might be from Jesus.
Yeah. And I imagine that she was feeling like, man, how much do I trust you? Like, you're going through a moment of like, do I really trust Jesus with this? And now your mom and your dad are also going through a similar style moment. And the cool news is, because we all know the end of the story because we listened to that other episode, that they say, yes, like, we'll do that. And it sounds like from our conversation the other night, it sounded like she is in your corner 100%.
Oh, absolutely.
And like, ready and willing to do whatever it takes to serve you and be there for you, which is, what an amazing mom to have her in your corner like that.
I love her. And my dad, his reaction when I told him that I thought that the Lord was calling me to public school, he was like, he was getting excited for it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember you telling me, like, there were complexities in not just like the relational complexities with like going from homeschool to high school, but the like logistical complexities. So like, the high school wasn't going to accept all of your credits from homeschool. And and so you you were saying that like you had to be willing to go in as a 10th grader, even though you were going to be an 11th grader.
So I'll explain the whole story. So we started doing research about like what I would have to do in order to go to the public school. And when I was just like fancifully thinking about like, what if I went to public school? I was thinking, so there's a high school right down the street from me. It's called Central. So I was like, because it was so close, I was thinking, oh, I could go to Central and graduate from there. Like, that was just my thought. It did turn out that I was going to Central, but it did not turn out that I would be graduating through there. I'm going to be graduating through homeschooling soon. And so what happened was the public high school, and it was too late for me to test out of classes.
Oh.
So the public high school,
they were like, we're not going to accept your credits.
Yeah.
What did they want you to come in as? What grade?
So I would be taking, I would start as a freshman. I would take summer classes as a freshman and then come in as a sophomore.
Oh my goodness.
And I had actually, I had said to the counselor, I was like, I was going to be a junior. So you don't, when you're going to be a junior, you don't want to start as a freshman.
Right, of course not. Yeah.
But I told the counselor, I was like, I'm willing to go in as a sophomore if I have to.
And that's huge. Like, what, I mean, talk about the cost of ministry. Talk about the cost of following Jesus. Like, the idea that you were willing to pay that cost, like, that's huge. And it says something about your sense of calling. Like, it wasn't really about school. It was more about the mission that he was calling you to.
Well, that was to graduate. The other option I had was to graduate through homeschooling and to take AP classes and electives at the high school, which is what we ended up doing when we found out that I would have to start as a freshman. We saw that as the Lord guiding us in that direction because
it was like an open door.
Yeah, exactly. Like, my mom and I actually, I found out later that she was also praying for this, but I was praying it would be so I was willing that it wouldn't be an Abraham and Isaac moment, you know, when Abraham was having to lay down his son on the altar. I was willing that it would be.
Yeah.
But I was also praying that it wouldn't be. And my mom was praying a lot harder that it wouldn't be.
Yeah. So basically the Isaac moment would be going in as a freshman / sophomore.
Exactly.
And you were praying that God would provide a sacrifice in a goat sacrifice in the weeds like he did for Abraham and Isaac.
Yeah. Over the past year, I've been I was taking biology, and like throughout the year, I started taking a couple other classes, but that didn't end up happening. And then I took a pretty easy elective the second semester.
That's awesome. So that's the logistical side of it. Mm-hmm. So it hasn't been all puppy dogs and rainbows.
No.
Which is really like it's a true reality for those who are called into ministry. Especially those who are called to dark places. And when I say dark, I mean unreached or under-evangelized or where there's not a lot of Christianity or there's not a lot of Jesus in those places. It seems like you end up having to kick down doors more than just walking through open doors. Mm-hmm. And so it's cool to hear that side of your story because it gives the reality of, hey, yeah, God's call is real and it's good, but it's also really hard. And what are you willing to do in order to obey, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And actually, if I can tell a little bit more about like how God was like guiding me before I went to public school.
Absolutely.
So I realized after the fact, because that summer was filled with like me hearing so much about like evangelism and going and obeying the Lord's will. And I was actually at a camp meeting called Indian Springs. Actually, Charlie Marquise and Chris Emery were speaking at. What they said was like such an encouragement. Mm. And I know that if I had like chosen to disobey the Lord's will for me to go to public school, like he would have like been convicting me left and right last summer. The other thing was to show how like the Lord is faithful when he calls you to a ministry was I have a friend, and I have her permission to share this story. Her name's Selena. And, well, so when I first realized that the Lord was calling me to public school, I was praying for God to provide me with someone who would, like, walk beside me at the public school, like, to encourage me, and someone with the same heart for reaching the lost at Central. I was praying for someone who went to Central. And Selena and I knew each other a little bit. We got to know each other a little bit over the summer, but at the beginning of that school year, like early September, she had her call to be a missionary at her public high school. And I had a conversation with her about what the Lord was calling me to. And then, she was like, Carrie, literally like 3 days ago, God like called me to be a missionary at my high school. She goes to a different public school. We would just encourage each other. And send each other prayer requests.
Wow.
And, like, sometimes we'd get on the phone and pray for each other.
Wow.
And, like, we'd just update each other, like, on Sundays and Wednesdays when we saw each other.
It's almost like God gave you a partner in ministry.
He did. And I didn't... Yeah, exactly. And I didn't realize that he had answered that prayer. Like, she's not at the high school, but he answered that prayer through Selena. And she's been such an encouragement to me, too.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. So, obviously... getting to the high school was a whole story, and God's provision to get you to the high school was a whole story. Mm-hmm. And so you end up taking this other route. So you didn't end up going in as a sophomore or freshman. You ended up going, just taking classes. And then on the side, you have a lot of opportunity to connect with students, which was the whole point that you're there, right?
Exactly.
So what have you been seeing God do? That's a big question.
That's a lot. A couple of things. So I actually connected really well with my biology teacher. I would talk with her, and she actually, like, I was praying for favor with regards to my teachers, and the Lord did provide that. And, my teacher and I had, like, a lot of, like, really awesome conversations. And, of course, she's a public school biology teacher, and so she teaches evolution. I've been able to, like, gently point out a couple of things about evolution to her. I've not really, I don't think I've shared my testimony with her or the gospel yet, but we're getting there. We actually, my last day of high school last year, it was so cool to look back on God's faithfulness, but I went to see her and we were saying goodbye for the summer, and she was like, make sure to visit me next year.
Wow.
So that, yeah.
What a testament.
And I pray that like there's still like a lot that I have to do this next year as God's called me to be a light. Like, there are some things that I wish I'd done better this past year, but I pray that the Lord will help me to not condemn myself, but to try to do better.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I've wrestled with that as well. Like, you don't want a mistake to hinder you from stepping into the continual ministry that God is calling you to do moving forward from that mistake, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So I'm interested. So it's like the first day of school, fall 2021, and it's your first day. What did you feel walking into a public school?
Anxiety.
Yeah.
So I had, at the age of 16, what most people had at the age of 5. That really brings it into perspective.
Yeah.
My mom and I, like, the week beforehand, she was waking up early with me, and we would go on walks to to and from the high school, just so that, like, I'd get into a routine of, like,
this is what this looks like, this is what my morning routine is. Mm-hmm,
exactly.
Yeah.
So we were talking about it over the next week. I'll be honest, I didn't want her to drop me off at the door. But so there's, like, a big hill that's, like, halfway between my house and the high school. And from the hill, you can see the parking lot. And so we decided that we would part ways on the hill. So I was, of course, feeling rather nervous. And then my mom and I are talking and praying and, like, walking to the top of the hill. We get to the top, and I see a ton of cars moving through the parking lot. And that's when the anxiety hits really badly.
Oh, man.
And I'm like, this is happening. And I was terrified. But my mom prayed for me at the top of the hill, and I very reluctantly started walking towards the direction of Central, and I started walking down the hill. I like lightning and thunder. I start walking in the direction, like, down the hill, and I look back up to where my mom is, and the sun was, she was facing the other direction. She started walking towards home, and the sun was rising right in front of her, behind me. And I like start crying because, this is, like, totally different from homeschooling. I'm not, like, I know this is hard for my mom and it's hard for me. And, like, this is a totally new, like, era of my life starting. And I start, yeah, I'm crying and I'm, like, walking towards the high school. I'm like, this is not a good time to cry. So, but I compose myself. So I had actually been in the high school for an orientation thing. But, so I know where, like, my classroom is. I know how to get there. But, so there weren't a ton of people walking through the hallways.
Yeah.
These masses of humanity.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the first day of school, like, it's a huge school. And it's, like, I'm a homeschooled child.
Right.
Just, like, walking through these hallways for the first time. And, like, yeah. I remember I go into my biology classroom and I sit down at a desk and I feel like this is, like, a college lecture because this stuff is so foreign to me. And I had a ton of people who are praying for me throughout this, which is such a blessing. If you're going through something like this, like, make sure you have, like, a whole prayer team, like, behind you, any area of ministry you're going to that God's calling you, because, like, it's such a comfort. And, like, I believe, so after that first day, the second day I was feeling very little anxiety. And the third day I was completely fine when I was going through the hallways, which it should not happen that rapidly, except that, like, God's people were praying over me. That's what I credit it to. Like,
absolutely.
God's people praying over me and God being with me and helping me to adjust, like, super quickly.
So. That's so cool. So it was new for you also, Josh.
Right. Yeah, what were your thoughts on all of this?
Basically that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
that it was a big change for you and the whole family, and yeah.
Mm.
Wow.
So, Carrie, you've spent all this time and all this energy to get up close to students, right, in this public school setting. And here you are, maybe you're in the, I don't know, where were you the first time you had a conversation with a fellow student that kind of, like, oh, wow, this is real ministry that I'm doing here. Like, where were you? What was that like?
Like, are you talking about, like, my first conversations or the first time I realized, oh, this is my, like, a ministry? Like, what do you mean?
I guess so, like, you were talking about you went through this anxiety period, and so now you're kind of in your zone with school, but your ministry is still getting off the ground. Like, what was the first step in getting your ministry off the ground? How about that? That's
meeting
probably my question.
People. I made sure to not scare people right off the bat with, like, do you know that you're going to hell if you don't know Jesus? Like, that's not the best way to do ministry.
Probably a wise choice.
You didn't want to like go out there with a megaphone and
no.
whatever else those people have.
No, I made sure that my first area of ministry was to get to know people. Mm. And then, like, a couple weeks in, which it didn't end up being a couple weeks in because I was still scared. But a couple weeks in, like, to start sharing with them that I'm a Christian and see where it goes from there. Like I said before, like, there were a lot of people in my biology classroom that, like, I never got the chance to share that I was a Christian. Well, I probably had the chance, but... Yeah, I didn't feel I'm human. I do fail.
Yeah, thank you for your transparency. I think we can all relate with that. Mm-hmm. Like, the reality is that we get called into ministry or to a ministry, and we're sitting there with the people that we're supposed to be ministering to, and it's like, this is really scary. Mm-hmm. Oh, I get that. Mm-hmm. So, and it's true, we're all human, and nobody's perfect, and no perfect people allowed. Traveled the world so far, never met a perfect person. So thank you for your transparency with that, because I think that's a real world reality of ministry, whether it be here in the United States or some other place around the world.
I did try to take advantage of, like, moments that would, like, lead to a conversation about faith. And then I would, like, if a conversation, like, if I could take advantage of something, then I would just, like, felt like the Lord was leading me in this direction, I would just go for it so that I wouldn't, like...
Chicken out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I felt like, I think that, like, when I took those moments of... When I took advantage of those moments, then God led me into some amazing conversations. Like, what ended up being my schedule was I would get there, get to my biology class first hour. My biology teacher was actually very proud of me, considering that, like, I went from, like, homeschool to having to get up, like, first hour for school. She was like, whoa, that takes... Wow, Carrie, that's dedication. Anyway, so I would have my biology class first hour, and then I would hang out in the library second and third hour, and I would hang out for first and second lunch. And that's honestly where I got to know people a lot and got to, I had some really good conversations during that time too. So in the library, God gave me a couple of opportunities. So I was working on some math homework. And I look across the library, and I see a young man who's just, he's sitting at a table by himself, and he has his, like, arms on the table and his face down, and God just laid a really, like, suddenly heavy burden on my heart for this young man, and I felt like I should go over and talk to him, like, at least try, and so... I don't even know if I've told you the story, Josh.
Even though his attitude was the noise we just heard?
Yes. I go over and I ask him, like, are you okay? And he kind of just grumbles. I went back to where I was sitting, and the burden was just heavier. And I was like, I cannot focus on my math right now. So I was just like, I was looking at my math work, and I was just like, I couldn't focus on my work. I was just praying, like, and praying for this young man. I kept a little New Testament.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this is the best way to do ministry, but I decided to go with it. So I took the little New Testament that I had, and I walked back over. And I left it on the table beside him. He didn't look up or anything. I went back to my desk, keep praying for him. He looks up, like, maybe 5 minutes later, and he sees the little New Testament. And he, this is a harder story, so he tears out a couple of pages from it, and he uses them as tissues. And I was like, oh. But he did put it in his backpack, so.
Wow.
I mean.
Who knows what he did with it next?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, if he threw it away, I pray someone else found it. If, yeah, so, but then I went back over after he had lifted his head. I went over and I was like, are you okay? And he was like, I'm fine. And I was like, are you sure? And he was like, yeah. And then I just, like, it was, like, silence for a little bit. He didn't even look at my face until I said what I'm about to tell you. But there was just, like, well, he didn't even look at my face. He just looked up a tiny bit. There was silence for a little bit. And I was like, you don't know who I am, but I'm going to be praying for you. And then I went back to where I was going. I just kept praying for him. I mean, I still pray for him from time to time whenever I think about what happened. So another instance in the library, I was sitting by myself again because I can't focus on studying when I'm with a whole group of friends. But I look, and a couple of tables away from me, there's a young man, and he's like kind of in a similar posture. He was on his phone, though. I felt the conviction again to, like, go and talk to him. And so I just went up and stood up and did that. And I was like, I asked him, like, are you doing okay? And he was like, yeah, I'm all right. I was like, you look kind of sad. And he was like, he expressed gratitude that I, like, would come and check on him.
Wow.
And I think he asked me why I would check on him. And that's how this conversation took place. And I shared how Jesus loves me and I try to love other people and, like, care for them and make sure they're doing okay. And he was like, so can you tell me more about Jesus? And I should really have more conversations with this guy. This was the only conversation we had. But he was expressing, he grew up in a Christian family. But his brother had gotten cancer, and so he was really faltering in his faith, and he didn't know where he was. And I was just trying to comfort him in that, and also, like, I shared my testimony, I shared the gospel, I shared the truth about if we follow Jesus and repent of our sins, that we can go to heaven, and there's no fear of death. That's pretty much how that conversation went.
It's pretty powerful, Carrie. Just the way that you take Jesus seriously, and when he says, hey, just can you look around and see the people around you and love them the way that I would love them? Like, that's awesome.
I'm not perfect at it.
No. No one is perfect at it. Yeah. And I think I, and anybody listening to this podcast, I would imagine, really appreciates your genuineness in, like, hey, yeah, like, God called me to this. And you could tell us all the puppy dog and rainbow stories, right? Like, all the, oh, wow, look what, you know, but you're being really real. And I think that's more helpful because it shows us a couple of things. It shows us that God is faithful in the midst to bring to completion the work that he began. And it shows us that I can mess up, or I can be imperfect and still continue to do the work that God's calling me to do. And that's really good news.
My goal is not to be perfect.
So have you seen Jesus do any kind of, like, radical, crazy transformation moments with anybody?
So, yes. So, and I'm praying for more.
Yeah.
So there's, a girl at my school who I will call Anna.
Okay.
If I can remember to call her Anna. And her boyfriend, David. So I first met, my first day of school, I was in the library because it was my free hour. I see this girl sitting at a table alone. So I'm like, can I join you? And she's like, yeah. And I ask her her name and she says, my name's Anna. And I introduce myself and we don't talk a ton. We're working on our assignments. And remember, this is the first day of school, so I'm still, like, very, very nervous. Later on, David comes. David's like, hey, Anna, we need to take your school picture now. They're ready. They both leave for a bit, and then they come back a little while later. David is, oh my goodness, he is a social person. So, he and I struck up a conversation, and Anna was sitting mostly listening to us. She was, like, very, very shy with me at first. But we just, like, talk about, like, everything under the sun. David said during this conversation was, he was like, yeah, Anna's not very social. She doesn't really have very many friends. And I'm trying to convince her to, like, be more social and get more friends. Come the end of that conversation, like, it's time for us to go to our next classes. And David says, he's like, hey, you two should trade numbers because I think you'd be a really good friend to Anna, Carrie. The first day of school, he said that and, like, he, yeah.
It's like God's moving.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I start texting Anna. Like, okay, honestly, I was like, does Anna even like me? Because we were still wearing masks at this point. And all I could see were her eyes.
Yeah.
And it looked like she was a bit angry at me at times. And I was like, oh, no. But so I start texting Anna a little bit. Over the next week, she and I are hanging out more during the library hour. And David wasn't around. So she started talking a little bit more to me. It was kind of hard at first.
Yeah.
I was trying to, like, help her open up.
Yeah.
And eventually, in the first week, we wouldn't chat like two birds, but
right.
like we were starting to getting to know each other more. And later on, a couple months later, she was sharing how she had been bullied a lot in the past. She was like, she said to me, when I first met you and I was starting to get to know you, you just seemed like someone who I could trust. And that meant so much to me.
Mm.
Well, I'm going to go off on a side note quickly before I come back to this story because it just came to mind. My real name is Karenna, and I go by Carrie, and my middle name is Aileen. What Karenna means is pure, and what Aileen means is light. Mm. So put those two together, and
you are my sister.
Pure light. Thank you, Josh. One of my prayers that I say every morning is, Lord, help me to be your pure light, a pure light to those around me. When I was at lunch, I would hang out with Anna and David at lunch often. What he said to me one day, and it was very hard for me at lunch often because those who I was sitting with were not the most polite of company, and they would often make jokes that made me incredibly uncomfortable. And I love
high school kid.
I enjoy using my sense of humor, connect with people, and make other people laugh.
Yeah.
And I found that I was quiet most of the time because I couldn't find a way to, you know, like...
Their sense of humor was so different.
It was so different, and I couldn't, like, engage in any... I couldn't find any way to engage and be, like, humorous the way I wanted to. That being said, David one day was, like... He looked at me after they had... I had been quiet most of the time, and... He looked at me as they were, like, after they had had this, like, and he was like, Carrie, why do you sit with us? And I couldn't tell him, like, the real reason. Like, I'm trying to evangelize to you. but he went on and he was like, you're so pure. Like, why would you sit with us? That's what my first name means, pure.
Mm.
Later on in the year, my biology teacher shared with my parents. She was like, Carrie is such a light in the classroom. And I was like, when I heard that David said, I'm pure, which is what I had been praying for. And my biology teacher said that I was a light. It was so cool.
It was an answer to prayer.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's interesting, you know, It's cool how God answered your prayer and your identity. One thing I want to hit, though, is in your purity, you were with that was not. I mean, we're all sinners saved by grace, right, of course. But, like, I just find it striking that in the goodness of God, you, as a follower of Jesus, a representative of pure light, you can be with a group of people who are not representatives of pure light. And they can feel cared for by you and loved by you and seen by you. Like, how often do we think, well, I'm pure light, And so everybody else around me needs to adjust or change. Well, yeah. And we, of course, we want them to find Jesus and stuff, but mm-hmm. like we almost come off as judgmental mm-hmm. instead of caring.
And I used to be very judgmental of those who were not Christians, but the right. Lord has been working at me. And anyway, continue.
Yeah. And so here you are, and you're not being kicked out of their circle, mm-hmm. even though you're pure. From my perspective, it's probably because you see them and you care, and you're not sitting there from, hey, I'm better than you, but
yeah.
hey, how can I serve you? That's pretty profound.
Yeah.
All right. So you're in your story. And
so David and Anna.
Right.
So one of my prayer warriors, actually my pastor's wife, there was some drama happening in our friend group, which I didn't like.
Yeah.
So I was asking my pastor's wife if she would be praying into like this area that I would be like a peacemaker.
Yeah.
That drama actually fizzled out. I texted her and I was like, would you please pray that God would bring a divine appointment today? Later on that day, we're sitting at lunch. I had been kind of careful and looking for a good moment to tell people that I'm a Christian and that I go to church. There's a special needs girl who goes to our youth group.
Okay.
And who had been sitting with us at our table. I was just trying to love her. And I was talking with her and she was like, I'm so tired from having not I didn't get enough sleep last night. I'm so tired because I was up so late because I had been at youth group the night before. Mm. Actually, she said church,
yeah.
which is of course more well known by the secular world.
Right.
And David looks over at me and he's like, wait, you guys go to church? And I was like, yes, we do. Mm. And he was like, oh. And then went on to something, some other subject. Yeah. But so he was talking later on in that same day, later on in that conversation about how at his work, there's a young lady with a purity ring. Mm. And he looked over at me and he was like, why do some girls wear purity rings? It was, yeah. So I had to like jump into that subject and I shared that the Lord wants us as Christians to stay pure for yeah. marriage. And he asked me what I meant by that. In that conversation, I share why the Lord wants us to stay pure for marriage. And he shared his perspective, of course. Mm. And, of course, it's not the Christian perspective. When we had finished that conversation, I took advantage of an opportunity and I was like, so what are your guys' spiritual backgrounds, like Anna and David? David shared for Anna. Mm. He was like, well, Anna used to be a Christian, but then there was some, like, drama at her church. And he shared his growing up yeah. and how his parents were, like, encouraging him to look at a bunch of different religions and see. He has an engineer's mind, so he's very analytical. Oh, my goodness. Sometimes it went, like, way over my head. But he was sharing his perspective, and in short, he is an atheist. And we had to actually end up leaving because their class was starting. And I was like, hey, I'd love to, like, keep up this conversation with you in the future. And he was like, oh, yeah, for sure. Months went by. It never seemed like the right time to bring it up.
Yeah.
And I would get scared. But I was still, like, hanging out with them. I actually was able to go a little bit more in depth with Anna and ask her, like, why she stopped going to church. Yeah, it ended up coming down to some really hard things, some hard decisions that were made by her pastor. And she met David and started dating him. Mm-hmm. I didn't really, like, talk with them about it much for a while. Come the second semester. So Selena, my friend, and I were praying together before. This is kind of off topic, but I still think it was a really cool moment.
Yeah.
So Selena and I were praying together for our public schools and for the next semester, and that God would be at work in our ministries. And I was crying multiple times during that because the Lord was laying a burden on my heart for those at Central. And I get off the phone with her and I just suddenly start weeping. Like, I'm not off the phone with her for 5 seconds, but I just start weeping and crying out to God that he would reach into Central and that, like, people there would find him.
Mm.
first day of second semester, everything's pretty normal.
Right.
Second day, I wake up in the morning. I get a text from Anna, and she's like, hey, normally, little detail, but normally when she texts, she doesn't use a lot of punctuation. And so normally it's without a period when she says, hey. Today, there was a period after her hey. Her hey. And I was like, oh, dear, something's wrong. Like, I felt like something was wrong. Oh, and actually, I had just thought, like, 5 minutes before, like, Anna would be crushed if David stopped dating her. And I get that text from her, and I'm like, hey, what's up? And she texts back, he broke up with me. And did let her know that I was, like, there for her.
Yeah.
I was here to talk if she needed. I had my off hour during second hour. And she normally has a class during that hour. But she actually came to the library to find me. And there were a lot of people in the library. So we decided to go to the cafeteria, which during that hour was very vacant. We walk over there. I start talking through this with her. I'm asking her a lot of questions. Well, like, not interrogating her, you know what I mean? But, like,
not too many questions.
Not too many questions.
Back on the questions a little bit.
But, yeah, I'm asking her how this happened and, like, how it made her feel. And she's, like, crying. And I go, at one point, I'm like, okay, Anna, I'm going to go and get you some tissues quickly. I go to the main office to get a box of tissues. I don't remember if I was praying on my walk there. I might have been. I don't know. But I was definitely feeling very heavy on my heart for Anna. And so I come back to her. We keep talking a little while. I'm mostly listening.
Right.
Mostly just, like, hearing. And, like, there were times of silence where I wouldn't say anything. She would just, like, be quiet. And, like, that was okay. And at one point, a verse came to mind. I said to Anna, I was like, this verse just came to mind, and I wanted to encourage you with. And it says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he is near those who are crushed in spirit. She smiled a little bit after that. And then we just keep talking. And the next day, it was pretty similar.
Yeah.
Like, she met with me during second hour. It wasn't as bad, but she was still very hurt. She texted me after our conversation the first day. She was like, thank you so much, Carrie. She was like, I needed someone to hear me.
Nothing magic about that.
Nope.
You're just present.
Exactly. The next week, after David had broken up with her, he was trying to, like, keep up a relationship, and Anna didn't want to let go of him completely. And so he would still, like, come to lunch with us, which it was, oh my
goodness.
So awkward. The first couple days, like, it was very awkward, and there was a lot of quiet. We started to adjust and, like, yeah, like, not completely adjust. It wasn't like it used to be. It was different. Anna, she invited me to her house to hang out the week after David had broken up with her, which was really cool. Like, we had never talked about that before, and, like, she invited me over. And we hung out, and I felt like I wanted to invite her to youth group. And I was going to invite her at her house, but we ran out of time. And so I texted her the next day, and I was like, hey, Anna, would you like to come to youth group with me, like, on Wednesday? Like, you can come over to our house after school, and, like, we can just hang out, and then we can bring you to youth group. She does come over to my house after school on Wednesday, and she's, like, asking about, like, what youth group will look like. And I'm, like, talking with her, and I'm expecting her to be, like, super, like, shy and everything. Like, we both were expecting her to be, like, really shy. We get there, she sees, like, the big crowds, and she's, like, definitely, like, shy at first, and I'm hanging out with her. I introduce her to some people. Then we go into the worship time. After the end of our first song, she looks over at me, and she's like, can I come back with you next week?
Oh, wow.
And I'm, like, shocked for a second, and then I'm like, yes, absolutely. And then my youth pastor is preaching, and I look over at Anna, and I see her crying a little bit. Then after the service, we went back to socializing time, and I introduced her to a lot more people. She was so talkative. I did not expect her to be talkative at all. But as I was introducing her to people, yeah, she was just like, she was talking so much. And it was so exciting. Like, actually, at one point, she looked over at me and she was like, I did not expect to be this talkative. And we were like in the midst of a group of people. And I was like, I did not either. And she came back the next week, third week after the sermon. She's like, Carrie, like, every single sermon I've heard has related to me. And she was like, it's so weird. And I was like, Anna, it's the Holy Spirit. Hmm. Like, he knows what you need to hear. On the way home from youth group, we're about to drop her off. And my mom is driving. And Josh and my little brother, John Mark, were both sitting in the back of the car. I was sitting in the middle. Anna was sitting next to me. So what she did was she texted me this because she didn't want
to say it out loud in the car for everybody.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. She's like, Carrie, thanks for listening to me earlier. I really appreciate like the way you listen to me, and I know that you won't judge me no matter like what I share with you. Hmm. And I text her back, of course, Anna, you're far more important than an assignment. And I get a text from her and it says, I've given it some thought. And I've decided to follow Jesus. And I look over at her in the car and I'm like, are you serious? And she's like, yeah. And I get like so happy in the car out of nowhere. Mom's like, what is going on back there? And my brothers are like, are you okay, Carrie? And my mom actually dropped the boys off at our house before taking Anna to her place. I'm just like, I'm so elated because this is was what I was wanting. I asked Anna if I could share with my mom what she had shared with me. And I told mom and she was also like really happy all the way on the drive home. I think we might have even started singing a hymn. I don't know. But I was just like so happy. Like, you know those car handles?
Yeah.
Like, up like.
Where you hang on above the door.
Yeah. I was shaking it back and forth and shaking it in my seat because I couldn't hold it in.
Wow.
We got to her house and I get out of the car and I do a little happy dance. And Anna was like, she was super happy too. I go to give her a hug and I'm like, Anna, are you sure about this decision? Because when you decide to follow Christ, it is incredibly hard. Hmm. Like I had so much difficulty like... there were so many things that the Lord asked me to give up when I first started to follow Jesus. And she was like, I'm sure. We said goodbye for the night. And then we were passing by Central. Selena was the first person I called. I was like, Selena, guess what? She was like, Carrie, what? Anna just decided to follow Jesus. And she was like, no way! And yeah, we were just like screaming in each other's ears for come up the stairs. And she and I were just like so excited. My mom and I were driving past Central on the way home. And I was just like praying over it that like the Lord would bring more people to him.
And school starts in a couple weeks. So we'll see, right?
Yeah, we'll see. Wow. And I believe the Lord is calling me to start a Bible study.
Wow, so. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Carrie, thank you so much for sharing your story on the podcast. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Nathan.
For those of you who are out there listening, Carrie is an exceedingly normal human being, a wonderful human being, but also exceedingly normal. And you also can be a minister of the gospel wherever your feet take you, public school, private school, homeschool, whatever. It doesn't matter.
Through the Lord.
Through Jesus. Anything is possible.
Amen.
Thank you so much for joining the podcast, Carrie.
Thank you.
And thank you for being here, Josh. We appreciate you, man.
Thank you.
Well, that's it for this week's episode. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day. God bless.